Because of that need, you graciously gave us your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Thank you for our hope. And Lord, you gave us your word. And now that we open up our words, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd open up our hearts. We ask that you'd open up our understanding. And we ask that you would teach us great and mighty things from your word today. Lord, would you make application of your word today? Father, you said that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes what it is sent out to do. Lord, today we send your word out to challenge and change us. Lord, to bring instructions, guidance, healing. Lord, we send your word out today to move each and every heart. And Lord, let it begin with me. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, worship team. Wasn't that fun with the kids? It's always fun when they come in and share with us. The children's ministry does such a good job every week with the kids, and we enjoy them very, very much. Well, praise the Lord. We are studying our way through the Bible. We're in the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6. So if you'd like to study along with us, and if you don't have a Bible, we have some at the front and in the back of the churches. You're welcome to use those. And if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to keep that Bible. We just ask that you read it every day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, as we get ready to continue our study, if you're visiting with us, this might be a little bit different than the church services you might be used to. We're going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And as we go through it, sometimes we stop in a spot because of the time element, and I have to come back. Well, this is what's happening today. Today is 2 Samuel chapter 6, part 2. Now, I know. In order to start where we left off at verse 13, I need to read the whole first part of it, and I've been practicing all week reading it and not stopping and talking. So I'm going to read all of it just to bring us back to speed to where we are. I'm going to go through the seven highlighted points that we went through last week, and then that'll set us up to continue through the chapter and finish our study. So if you weren't with us and would like to catch up with us, you can, a number of different ways you can do that. You can go online. Our services are archived there. We have a podcast. Of course, I think it takes a couple weeks to get them on the podcast. You can order a CD copy. The guys will make you one in the sound booth there. However you'd like to do that, if you'd like to catch up with this study, we can get you brought to it. I have named this, Don't Touch That Ark. We're going to see why. It's also subtitled Paraders of the Lost Ark. And we saw that they paraded the ark, and it didn't turn out too well. So with that, you guys got your Bibles open? Let's start reading 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 nonstop. You guys believe I can do it? Here we go. Verse 1. Again, David gathered all of the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Bel Judah to bring up the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the two cherubs. And so they set the ark of God on a new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, they drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nathan's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God, and he took hold of it, for the oxen had stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. And now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom in the city of David with gladness. I did it. You have no idea how this was shaking. I wanted to stop a couple times. But I need to bring out a couple of points here in review. And again, I'm not going to preach all of last week's lesson today. But there are a couple things we need to make sure we understand to bring us into the part two of this lesson. First thing, notice in the picture what this is we see man trying to do God's thing man's way. It's also a picture of religion versus a relationship with the Lord. How did David get the idea to move this ark on the cart? Well, the pagan priests of Dagon, that's how they moved it when they sent it back. Remember? And so we saw, I better read my notes or else I'll preach the whole sermon again. The first point, there's seven. Let me start again. First point is that we learn that good intentions does not necessarily mean correctness. Sincerity must be accomplished by the truth. Have you ever heard someone that says, they're doing something wrong, contrary to the Word of God, but they'll say something like this, "Yeah, but God knows my heart and I'm sincere in my motives," right? Well, you can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. David was very sincere. What he wanted to do was a good thing, and this is a principle. Here's where we apply it to us, and that is that David had a situation, and he wanted to bring the ark, which was a picture of God's presence. He wanted to bring God back into his situation. You ever get into a situation, you ever feel like, I need God in my situation. I need to get God back into my life. God feels like he's been away somewhere. Remember, the ark's been gone 80 years. 80 years, and they haven't inquired of God in 80 years. No wonder the nation crumbled apart and is split and divided. Right? Can we not apply some of these things to our world today? Right? 1962, what happened? Well, we just kicked God out of school, then that followed by kicking the Word of God out of school, and that political correctness is ruining our nation, right? Clay, how come you don't have a big church? Because I tell the truth. They left God alone for 80 years. Their nation divided and fell. God raised up a man, David. And what's David doing? He's bringing God back. But he was sincere, but he was wrong. He did it wrong. That led to the second point, and that is that God's work is to be done God's way if it is to have God's blessings. Let me read that again slower. God's work is to be done God's way if it is to have God's blessing. Sometimes the easy way isn't always the right way. A lot easier to use that cart than to carry that box. But the easy way is not always the right way, right? That leads to the third thing, and that is that man's ways and God's ways are not always the same way. Now, I did want to bring this one back to the overhead, if you would please, Isaiah 55:8-9. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. But I think sometimes we, just as we get involved in life and the world, we have to remind ourselves of this, and that is that God tells us that for my thoughts, that's God speaking. For my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. We're not on the... I hate to bust somebody's bubble in here, but you're not as smart as you think you are in front of God. Okay, I'm looking around. That doesn't apply to anyone here. So when you visit another church, remember that. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. But here's the point I wanted for us to kind of highlight. God says, nor are my ways your ways. Right? God says if you want to be great, you got to become a servant. God says that if you want to gain, you've got to give, contrary to what man teaches, right? My ways aren't your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We might not always understand the ways of God or the Word of God, but we can trust the Word of God and the ways of God. Amen? So let's keep moving. Number four, the ways of the world, in parentheses I have the cart, may seem easier, but they are unstable. The cart hit a bump in the road. You ever going down life's road, think everything's cool, and you hit a bump? If you've been Christmas shopping this year, you've hit a bump. And I'm not talking in the parking lot. Doesn't our parking lot look good? Right, man. It's awesome. You almost don't want to drive on it, but I did. They were carrying the cart. I mean, they were carrying the ark on the cart, which was a picture of the world's ways, picture of religion, right? And they hit this bump. God bless you. God told them that the priest had to carry the ark. Why was that? Their footing was more sure. When we do things the world's ways, we will hit bumps. And it can sometimes be very deadly. It was for this man. Right? So, the ways of the world can be very unstable. The fifth thing, I only got seven, then I'm going to preach. Fifth thing is we can learn valuable lessons from a loss. We can learn valuable lessons from a loss. 1 Chronicles 15, 1 through 6, we turned and read that last week, but we saw that after this man was struck dead for touching the ark, something that they could not do, we saw that what that did was that motivated David to search the scriptures, to seek out the priest, and to find out, how do I move this ark? Remember, whenever you hit a bump in the road, whenever something bad happens, David got mad, and I encouraged you to do what David did. That caused him to ask a very important question. That question was, how can I bring God's ark into my presence? So if you hit a bump, if you experience a loss, if there's something going on, don't get mad at God for your mistake, but ask the question, what is God's will? How do I now take care of this properly, right? And that caused him, we saw in 1 Chronicles 15, to seek the scriptures and say, the priests have got to carry the ark, right? So we can learn some valuable lessons from a loss. Sixthly, goes along with that one, and that is this, that the second deadly error, remember there are two errors in this thing. The second deadly error was when the gentleman touched the ark, Uzzah, and he died. But that would have never happened if David wouldn't have made the first error, which the first error was not seeking God and how to do this. If he would have done it correctly the first time, Uzzah would have never died. See? So that leads to the seventh point, and that is that just because people and a culture change, God and His Word does not. The ark had been sitting 80 years and no one inquired of it. And now they're going to move the ark with their modern way on this cart. God said you can't do that. Friends, let me be very, very, very bold here. Our Bible is not outdated. I don't care what politicians tell you. Our Bible and our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Its principles are just as true and just as powerful and just as needful today as they were when God anointed these men thousands of years ago to pen His sweet message to us. God and His Word never goes out of date. Amen? We can apply it to our life. Well, that's just setting us up for the second part. You guys ready to get into the study? You're like, please, Pastor. All right, we're going to start at verse 13. We saw that David, you know, he went and did his homework. He found out how to move the ark. Notice the last word in verse 12 is he moved it to the city of David with gladness. God can turn our sadness into gladness when we obey His Word, when we apply His principles, when we do things God's way. He can take our losses and turn them into victories. He can move us from that sadness, that fear, to gladness. And it says in verse 13, and so it was when those bearing the ark, once again, 1 Chronicles 15 tells us this was the priest from the line of Kohath, which that's who God said had to carry it. When they bore the ark. They'd gone six paces, and they sacrificed an ox and a fatted calf. If you want to, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, you can write next to this, 1 Chronicles 15:26. If you don't want to write in your Bible, lean over to the guy next to you, write it in theirs. Because that Chronicles tells us that they only had the sacrifice after the first six steps. Some people teach they take six steps, sacrifice. Six step, sacrifice. Six, that's not what they did. They did the six steps, which six is the number of man. They did a sacrifice of seven. That's what the Chronicles tells us. Seven of each, which is the number of perfection. David is telling God, I'm no longer doing it God's way. I mean, my way. I'm now doing it your way. God accepted the offerings. They now begin to go into the city. Very, very awesome picture all this was. So look what happens now in verse 14. And then David danced. The original word there is he whirled about. He spun and he jumped. He danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. This ephod was the garment of a priest. So he takes off his kingly robe. He is just him before God. Yes, the people around, but he is celebrating bringing God back. He's so happy. All the stuff, he's dancing around. Verse 15, and so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. I mentioned this last week that he no longer has the band. He just has the trumpets. This is in line with Joshua 6:4. The shouting here is actually, we learned from Isaiah 44:23. We read those last week. I won't put them back up on the overhead. But this was a singing shout. It wasn't just making crazy noise like you try to, you know, at football games when they're kicking the extra point and then you yell and do crazy stuff to try to get the kicker off course, right? This isn't what they were doing. They were singing and shouting these praises to God. The trumpets of ram horns, which indicated the arrival of a king, was blasting. And man, this was an awesome thing. This was just a cool, cool thing, right? I get goosebumps just preaching it. And they're going, and verse 16, oh boy. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, she looked through the window and she saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now, the last time she's looking out the window at her husband, she's so in love with him that she had just helped him to escape her father. Remember that? Now she's looking at him in disgust and in irritation and mad. You know those little idiosyncrasies that you love so much about your spouse and it attracted you to your spouse? Well, in a few years, those are what police call motive. I worked on that all week, right? That was good, right? I'm gonna move that into my comedy routine because that's just powerful. Hey, before we give Michal a bad time, remember, she was once deeply, deeply in love with David, and her dad, King Saul, kind of in a bad way, let her marry David, then took her away from David, had her marry another guy for political reasons, and now David then removed her from her husband and brought her back. So, she kind of got a bum rap in all this, but she's so jealous and mad now that she's looking down at David, and here's where we can make some points for our life, and that is that you'll be criticized for worshiping God. And sometimes that criticism might be from people very close to, might be your own family, right? There are, and it usually tends to be more towards the ladies than the men, but usually it's not uncommon for a wife to be at church alone and her husband is just giving her a hard time, right? Let me tell you guys something. There's nothing better than having a godly spouse, right? And we need to be encouraging our spouses. We need to be encouraging our children, our siblings, our friends to be in that relationship with God. But you will be mocked for it. You will be mocked. And so she's looking at him in disgust because he's expressing his love and his excitement for God by dancing. But check this out, verse 17. So they bring the ark of the Lord and they set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle. that David had erected. This isn't the tabernacle of Moses, okay? It's still in Gibeon, but he made this place for the ark, and they set it in there still in verse 17, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Here we see something very unique and special that only a couple people in Scripture could do, and that is David is acting as both a king and a priest, right? He's offering now this burnt offering. Remember, there's five offerings in the Bible. The Hebrew root word for offering is to draw near, to draw near. You wanted to approach God and draw near God, you'd bring an offering. We still do that today. You want to draw near your spouse, you bring an offering, right? I want to draw near to my wife, bring an offering. It's candy, it's flowers, or something like that, right? Your wife wants to draw near you, she brings you an offering. My wife usually brings a burnt offering, but work that in, right? I'm on today. But an offering. Now, the burnt offering was, of the five, the most important. Here's why. The entire animal was consumed, and it was a picture. It pictured three things, which was an ultimate picture of Jesus. First one, it spoke of the atonement for sin that we all need. The second thing the burnt offering pictured was the exalting of God as for being God. And the third thing it showed was the dedication of the people. Right? Beautiful, this picture of the offering. But the peace offering, it was the only one of the offerings of the Bible in which the people themselves would take part of. What I mean by that is they would eat part of the meat that was sacrificed. How many of you are so grateful that God allows us to be meat eaters? These two suggested our communion service. When we have communion, we remember the atonement of our sin and the fellowship that we have with God because of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? And David leads us as the leader of the nation, as the king. He's doing this. And then verse 18, very important. When David had finished the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. You know, this is so important for us today. We as Christians, we sometimes get so hung up on the fact that we can speak word curses. You guys ever hear that phrase? Word curses. The power of life and death is in the tongue, and that's very true. The tongue is very powerful, right? But let's not get so hung up on the negative that we forget to bless. I got a challenge for you guys. We're going into a new year. I want to challenge you all to speak a blessing. Speak a blessing over your family, over your children, over your spouse, over your employers, over your church. Speak out loud with your words a blessing every day. One of the worst things, even modern psychologists will tell us this, that when we browbeat our children, tell them they're stupid, we are doing them more damage than building up. We need to build up and not tear down. David spoke a blessing over his people. His people were a messed up bunch at this time. But they were on the road. They were getting back to worshiping God. They were getting back in unity as a nation. David speaks this blessing to him. Very, very important. And it goes on to say in verse 19, and he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel. This is a lot. And David gives these gifts, both the women and the men. Now, this is very important because in that culture, the women weren't on the same level as men. But the king is now blessing them along with the men. This really a great, amazing thing. And to everyone, he gives a loaf of bread, a piece of meat. It was probably, I believe, part of that offering. Piece of meat and a cake of raisins. Raisins spoke of blessing and bountifulness, right? And so he's blessing them with all this stuff. And it says, so all the people departed, everyone to his house. You know, when you leave the house of God, you should be carrying something that's a blessing back with you, right? We come to receive from God, and we take it home. They go home. Now, everything is just awesome, right? David's having a great day. Ah, verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. How come is it? Let me talk to the men for just a minute. Ladies, go somewhere else for just a second. Men, you need to go home and bless your house just like you bless your buddies at work. I'm not talking finances. I'm talking just the way you behave, the way you honor them, the way you treat them, right? Some people are the best pillars of the community, great helpers in the church, and they're horrible husbands and fathers. David goes home to bless his house. Now, it works both ways, I'm sure, right? But let's see what's happening here. David goes home to bless his household, and he's got a big household, we've learned. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, notice she's called the daughter of Saul, not David's wife. She's acting more like her father Saul than her husband David, for sure. She's the daughter of Saul. She comes out to meet David. He's all happy. He's heading home and all this stuff. He's ready to play with the kids and do all this kind of stuff. And here she comes out the door waving a pan or a rolling pin or something. I don't know. For some of you young girls, a rolling pin and a pan is used. I didn't even think that one up. That was on the spot. And just FYI, Pastor loves lemon bars. I'm just saying. Just saying. She comes home, and boy, this is really a sad thing after this great day. And unfortunately, this situation a lot of people are in, both men and women. Comes home, and she comes out to meet him, and she says, "Well, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." Here's the problem, and that is that she had her eyes on the people, but David has his eyes on God. As I said before, people mock you and criticize you, and it's most painful when it's from your own home, and that happens, unfortunately. But look what David says. David says to her, "Hey, it was before the Lord. God is the reason I do what I do." And you just got to love this. David, man, he rams in a little farther. He goes, "It's before the Lord who chose me instead of your daddy to be the king of Israel." He twists the knife. I love it. "God chose me, not your father, to be ruler over this people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I played." Now, music is in italics. That means man added. The English says, "Therefore, I will play music before the Lord." The actual original is this. Check this out. David says, "Before Jehovah, I did dance." Okay? I didn't do this for other people. See, we don't worship God as a show to other people. It's between me and God. That's why the worship team... Now today with the kids, it flowed a little differently, but that's why the worship team, after a couple songs, will invite you. Hey, you can remain standing if you want to. You can be seated if you want to. If you want to raise your hands and worship to God, you're welcome to do that. If you want to fold your hands. We just want you to worship God, because our God is an awesome God, right? And David says, "It was before Jehovah I did this," right? This is what I'm doing. I'm not trying to please people. I'm not trying to please you. I'm doing this for God. Now she says, you know, what she was mad at is he ripped off his royal robes. That was the robes of a king. And he made himself like a common man. And she didn't like that at all. But you know, we wear robes, don't we? And one of the greatest robes that we need to peel off of ourselves so that we can worship God purely and holy is a robe of pride. Some people are wearing heavy robes of unforgiveness. There are people wearing robes of righteousness. Let me clarify that. Robes of religion. We've got to strip those robes off. The linen ephod was the garment, a very simple garment of a priest. We need to come before God with just a pure heart. And say, "God, I need you. Here I am. That's all I got, God." God says, I can do something with that. I can do something with that. But she got mad because he did it. So he gets mad at her too. Let me read some of my points. Our worship and our honoring of God will offend other people. We kind of talked about that already. He says in verse 22, David's still speaking, he says, "And I will be even more undignified than this." You think I'm a crazy worshiper now? Just wait. Right? He's 100% sold out to God. "And will be humble in my own sight." Those robes, the garments, meant nothing to David. Right? Now, some of us might not have the robes of a king, but we take great pride in our automobiles or our home or our possessions. Friends, if those things mean more to you than worshiping God, you've got some idols that you need to take care of. God wants to bless you. God didn't care David had royal robes. God put him in those robes. David said, "Before you, it's nothing," right? David says, "I'll take that off and in my own, I'll humble myself in my own sight. But check this out. But as for the maidservants of whom you've spoken, by them I'll be held in honor." What's he talking about here? Friends, let me once again kind of go contrary to the modern culture's mindset. And that is being a mature man or woman of integrity, honesty, is more attractive than being, boy, I'm a Buckeye guy, so I don't know how to say this gingerly, than being a loosey-goosey. You guys get the picture? Right? Yeah. The loosey-gooseys are popular in school, but that fades. Person of moral character and integrity is who you want. Right? David said, "These gals that you think are just swooning over me," and David was a good-looking guy. He said, "I'm going to be more attracted to them, not because I got bulging biceps, not because I got some slick dance moves, but because I'm a man after God's own heart." Ladies, what makes you attractive to a man? Being a woman after God's heart. Men, what make you attractive to a woman? Running the vacuum. I mean, getting those points. I'm working this Christmas thing, man. Being a man after God's heart, that's what's attractive. Men? Girls, let me ask you just a quick girl survey. What do y'all think of man buns? Don't get me started on the man buns. Right? All right, let's get back here. We got to finish. I was going to do chapter 7, and I don't think I'm going to get to it today. Last verse, and we'll close it down with this verse. We kind of read it and don't think about it, but there's a lot to this verse too. Verse 23. Is a very sad verse. It says, "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." Now, in that was considered the ultimate tragedy for a gal in ancient Israel and anywhere in that time, because children, of course, are a blessing from God, and it was considered a great curse to be barren. And what we learned from extra-biblical teaching is that it's not that God closed her womb. David closed her door. He never went in to her for the man-wife relationships that need to happen to have a child. So she, of course, couldn't conceive and have children. And what's the spiritual principle for you and I? Spiritual principle for you and I are this, is if we close ourselves off to what God is doing, to the move of God, right? If we refuse to worship and honor God, if we're quick to criticize people who do but not honor God ourselves, we, like Michal here, we can become very dry and fruitless in our life. Right? Friends, a lot of people aren't dirty, rotten sinners, but they feel dry in their life. They feel fruitless in their endeavors. And it might be because they're wearing a robe that's stopping them from worshiping God in humility and in simplicity, right? And we're stumbling ourselves in a religion because we're using carts and oxen instead of bearing on our shoulders the presence of God. Does that make sense? Does that sound okay? Well, friends, that's what I'm going to end with today. So worship team, if you'll join me up here. I told Ted, mark the CD, chapter 7. I'm going to get through it. Yeah, scratch that out, Ted. We'll do that next week. But stand with me, would you, today? I want to remind you guys that we do have midweek Bible study this Wednesday, and of course, prayer Tuesday. The following week after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, we won't be having midweek services that week. But don't forget to invite people and yourself to our next week. We have, not next week, the week following, Christmas Eve, we have our Christmas Eve service. And I want to thank the fellows who showed up Saturday to help us clean up the barn and start getting ready. Still have some more work to do, but we can't do until we set up chairs and stuff. We'll let you know on all that stuff. But thank you for all of that. Keep the candlelight service in prayer. That's one of our biggest outreaches of the year. And we share the simple message of the Savior. And it's an awesome, awesome time. What we're going to do now, if you're visiting with us, if this is your first time, after we have our lesson for the day, worship team leads us in a song. They play a song, and we open up the altars for prayer. The fellows join me up here. Kelly joins me up here. And we just give you an opportunity that if you need prayer. You know, maybe God has spoken to your heart in some way today. Even in spite of me and my corny jokes, God wants to do and will do something great in your life. Friends, all of us are guilty at times of trying to bear a load our own way, like they tried on an ark. We need to simply lay that down and seek to do it God's way and allow God to move in our heart and life. Does that make sense? So that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I say amen, we're going to open the altars for prayer. So pray with me. Before I pray, I wanted to say one more thing, and that is that the greatest need that people have is the need for the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. This Christmas season, we focus on Jesus' birth. But His birth, and we celebrate it, because He had to grow up. And He had to grow up so that He could die on the cross. And He had to die on the cross so that we could be saved. Right? So He became a man so that we can be sons of God. It's awesome. And friends, that's our greatest need. And if you have never repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, today, God wants to change that in your life. So I'm going to ask that when I say amen, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask that you come to pray with me. I got some things I'd like to give you after we pray and talk to you a little bit. So join me now in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for challenging us. Father, may we be pure in our worship. Lord, may we be sincere in our praise and our service to you. Father, there may be many here who have been stumbling on the bumps in the roads, and today maybe they've realized that it's because they've been doing things their way or the world's way and not your way. Father, you tell us that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, would you help us to turn our burdens over to you? Father, some of us may need to strip off a robe of pride, a robe of greed, a robe of selfishness, or it could be anything else, Lord, that's stopping us from being pure in heart as we serve and worship you. Would you help us to do that? Father, would you help us, God, to not listen to the voice of critics. Critics will always be there. Lord, help us to understand that as David said, you called him. Lord, would you help us to understand that you've called each of us? And let that assure us when we hear the voice of the critic. Lord, I know there are many, needs today in this, your house? Would you meet all of them? Father, would you minister and would you bring healing to every home? Lord, would you meet every need? And would you do great works in our midst? And as always, Father, we will be very careful and very quick to give you the praise and the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' mighty and strong name we pray.